I'm talking about the widow woman of Zarephath. You remember her? Okay, we don't know her name. All we know is she's the widow woman of Zarephath. We don't know what her name is. But we know this. She had the attention of Almighty God. God had prepared her for such a time as this. When she was in her moment of getting prepared, she didn't have any faith in God. She was getting ready to die with her son. She took her little stuff that she had left. She's preparing it to die. And God says, hey, Elijah, go tell her that I have commanded her to take care of you. You know why? Because there's a principle in that. That in our biggest hour of need, if we give all that we have, God takes notice of you. And he was preparing her for a miraculous intervention. Amen? So we know that Elijah came and he insults her kind of by saying, hey, before you feed yourself and your son, feed me. And she does. And so it says then in 1 Kings 17, it says she did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. And the jar was not spent, nor did the bottle of oil fail, according to the word which the Lord spoke through Elijah. Now we read this, but then we don't understand that little woman, like, do we know that if every time she went to go make something, it just bubbled up? Or the flour just expanded at the time? Or do you think she just had stacks and stacks of it all the time? And so what happens is after we get used to the provision of the Lord, sometimes we get so used to the provision of the Lord. You know, when that first happened, do you think she might have had a shout? Do you think she might have had some joy? Do you think there might have been some something going on in the atmosphere when she realized her and her son were not going to die, that God's promises were real? Do you think they just sat around? Do you think Elijah wasn't happy about that? Do you think that he wasn't excited because the word of the Lord came true right before his eyes? I mean, we got to read the Bible like it's real and that was a real person with real stuff going on. And so now they're excited. They're excited about God. And then the next day it's there. And then the next day it's there. And then the next day it's there for 3 years. And so all of a sudden you're like, hey, this is normal now. You know, the provision of God becomes normal to you. And sometimes you lose a little bit of your joy. You lose a little bit of your thankfulness. You lose a little bit of stuff. And then when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. And then when you lose your strength, you lose your praise. And then when you lose your praise, then the enemy comes back. And he's looking to see if inside of your house there's a place that he can come in and dwell. And that's what happened to this widow. So now, here is what happens. Now, she comes back to him and she says, after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe, there was no breath left in him. You know what that means? He's deader than a doornail. That's what that means. And so, what does she do? She doesn't go to Elijah, who has given the word of the Lord and caused something to happen miraculous. She goes to him to complain. And she says, what have you done against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Are you kidding me? So not only is she's lost it, she's lost her faith, she's lost her joy, she's also lost her confidence in the prophet and what he had to say. But you know, there's a verse in Habakkuk that says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the Lord, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I mean, he's saying, you might have to face something you never expected. It might look like the shelves are bare. It might look like the gas is too high. It might look like you're facing an economic crisis. It may look like you're losing one of your kids. It might look like the report is too big. But that verse goes on to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. And Elijah didn't yell back at her. He didn't yell at her and say, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you accusing me? Why are you doubting God? He just simply said, give me your son. He's just saying, I still have faith in my God. And so he carried him from her and carried him up to the chamber where he stayed and laid him upon his own bed. Why do you think he laid him on his own bed? Because there is an anointing that is upon your life when you spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's why people should come into your house and go, wow, there's something in this house. Yes. That's why people should come through these doors and go, wow, there's something in this church. That's why when somebody is in your presence, they should say, I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on that's a little bit different. Because there is a residue of anointing on your life when you have been in the presence of the Lord. And when you have been in the presence of the Lord, the anointing is substantial. And so he said, let me lay this boy down on where I meet God every day. Let me lay this boy down where I know he resides. Let me lay this boy down where I have heard from him. And I get up in the morning and I rejoice in him because he has spoken to me, because he is my God. And so Elijah cried to the Lord where he laid him on his bed, because he was used to crying to the Lord where he laid him on his bed. Have you brought further calamity upon this widow? He's saying, God, how could this be? Come on now. And he stretched himself, but he did, according to the word of the Lord. You don't think this was his idea. You don't think that he was laying himself upon the sun because he thought this was a good idea. Like what? Why would it be a good idea to lay on a dead body? And so he stretched himself upon the child, and he did it three times. And he cried to the Lord. You know why? Because three is a day of resurrection. And God is always showing us there's a resurrection coming. There's a resurrection. It might not be the first day. It might not be the second day. But on the third day, there is resurrection power. And so he said, he stretched himself upon this child three times and he cried to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, my God, my God, my God, he's my God, he's my God, he's your God, he's a personal God. Woo! And he said, let this child's soul come back into him. And you know what it says? It says the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. It says he responded to him, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. He revived. He came out of that grave. He came out of that dead state. He came back into the land of the living. I don't know what you think is dead, but I'm telling you today that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and no matter what your circumstances look like, no matter what you feel like, no matter how long it's been, no matter if you're comfortable with what God has done in the past and you forgot to praise him enough in the obstacles of the enemy, he is here today to bring back your faith, to bring back your joy, to bring back what looks to be appear as dead. He is here with resurrection power because Jesus is alive. Amen. And so Elijah took the child. Now, can you imagine? He's got this live child in his hand. He's not bringing back a dead child. He's bringing back a live child. I'm sure there's a little bit of spring in his step going down those stairs. And he brought him down out of the chamber into the lower part of the house. And he gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see? Your son is alive. And I just want to say to you today, see, your circumstances are not going to be the final end. No matter what you're facing, facing, no matter what Satan's trying to feed you, no matter how dark it seems or what you feel like, see your son, your circumstances, your daughter, whatever it is, they are alive because on the third day, there is a resurrection. Amen? And the woman says to Elijah, a lot of nerve, she says, by this I know that you are a man of God. What? She didn't know that before? The meal? Okay, meal and oil has been showing up for 3 years and they're not dead. Okay, but today was her day of recognizing not only was he a prophet that had the word of the Lord in his mouth, she said, the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And I have to tell you that the word of the Lord that is alive in our mouth is truth that can break every circumstances, that can turn every situation around, that can bring the presence of the Lord, that changes atmospheres. The presence of the Lord, it is in our mouth. We know him. We've seen what he can do. We've experienced it. How many of you have had a healing in this church? How many of you have been healed? Look at those hands. How many of you have experienced salvation? That's good. Sarah, here's an altar right here for you right now. How many of you have had a miracle in this house? How many of you have experienced the presence of God turning a circumstance around that you thought was impossible? Yeah. You see, because God is still on the throne, and what makes Satan afraid is what he knows what will happen when we have the word of the Lord in our mouth and we release it. And so God is causing us to come together today to rejoice in the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. Amen. And so it is up to us to give our all to God, because he gave his all to us. And so I had already prayed and already said, well, I know this isn't all on me today, because God is doing something different in the body of Christ. And you know what he's doing? He's going to call you into active service. Amen. Thank you. He's going to call you into active service. That woman was just waiting around watching her child die. She forgot to be grateful for what she had and what God had already done. But we're not those, because we got stirred up today in the joy of the Lord. And all those songs and all those words brought us into remembrance of who he is and what he's done. And when you get excited about God and what he's already done, you can get excited about what he's going to do. And when you get excited about what he's going to do, you need to realize he's going to do it through you. So he didn't pick just one Elijah. He picked a company of people. He picked the church. He picked his people, his bride. He said, I'm doing a new thing. He said, the ecclesia, however you want to say it. It's the church of the living God that's coming alive, understanding that they don't have to depend on one person, but they can depend on their God, and they can go out and reach somebody else. That was all the testimonies last week, is that God shows up when his people show up. And when you put your hand to what God told you to put your hand to, he will prosper it and he will affect other people's lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people are in a bad way right now. I know that the world has taken them down. I know they're in depression. They are in confusion. They have healing problems. They need God's intervention. They need to change their mind. They need to change their attitude. They need to have a one-on-one with God. And guess what? You're it. God is calling you into a higher place. He's expecting something of his bride. And you know what the glory of it all is? That when we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, when we say we're going to give her all, we're not holding anything back. I know what you've done before. I'm in remembrance of who you are. And I believe you for what you're going to take care of me as I take care of your kingdom. And you step out in faith and you pray for someone, or you pick up the phone and you call someone, or you minister to someone, or you see someone that's sick and you pray for them, or you see somebody out in the parking lot and you are compelled to talk to them about God. God. God will show up because he's a show up God. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to forget my promises. That's the God that we serve. But that's also the God you serve. And so I know that it helps us to know that God is on the move. It helps us to know that there's nothing impossible for him. I know that there is joy in the house for a reason. There's joy in the house because people have gotten into depression. You've given in to what the enemy is saying, and God has given us opportunity today. And so we're going back to the joy in the house of the Lord. So I had asked Farrell and Herbert and Steve to come and bring what they felt was in their heart of the importance of knowing God and to giving all back to him. And so, good luck, Farrell. You're first. Be blessed. Be blessed. What? Oh, my goodness.
Choir, right? All right, so we've all had wonderful experiences of needing to let go of something, right? So I was sharing this story when Pastor Dawn called me yesterday. I shared her this story and see if this would fit, and she thought it would. So when I was in Texas, many of you don't know this story about me, and so this may be a surprise to some of you, but I used to be a worship leader. Lord have mercy on that congregation. I loved leading worship. I thought it was so amazing. It was so powerful to watch people connect with God while you're leading worship. And it's just a huge blessing. And so every morning before I went to work, I would stop at the church and I would spend time in prayer. And I would turn on the music and I would just say, Shando boko raboko jalada. You know, I would be going in on it and just praising God and just setting my day straight by connecting with him. Well, one morning when I went into the church to pray, I turned on the music and I started praying. And the song came up, Returning to the Heart of Worship. And so it began with, when the music fades and all is stripped away. And as soon as it said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about laying down leading worship. And I was devastated. I'm like, this is the devil. There is no way that this is God. This is the devil. And so I couldn't shake it though, and I knew it wasn't the devil. And I cried. I'll be honest. I wept before the Lord because it was something that I felt near and dear to my heart. And so as I came to grips with the reality of what God was saying, I started putting into play what he had asked me to do. And what was a blessing is that he had already sent someone to the church who was a worship leader at another church, and they had been there for a couple months. And so he was able to step into that place of leading worship while I was stepping away from it. So it was a very smooth transition. And so God set the stage for me to obey. I could have said, no, this is mine. Like the widow woman could have said, no, Elijah, this is mine. This is mine. This is me and my sons. You're a prophet of Israel. I'm a Gentile. I owe you nothing. Right. And so let me just die with my son. And I could have been the same way with what I had. It's like, God gave me this. God gave me this position as a worship leader. I don't have to let go of it. This is mine. And I could have responded like that. But if I would have responded like that, what would have happened is I would not have been able to be open to the call of God to send me to South Florida to connect with my beautiful wife. I mean, hey. Or to connect with you beautiful people. And all of that, the experiences that I've had over the last 20 years would not have been the experiences that I had over the next 20 years because I decided to hold on to what God was asking me to let go of. And so there are things sometimes that we are required by God to let go of. But when we let go of them, just like the widow woman, she received more than she ever could have imagined. And that's the same way with me. When I let go of that which I loved leading worship in order to obey what the Spirit was telling me to do, God opened up the floodgates of heaven and gave me so much more. And so just know that whenever God asks something from you, it's not because he's trying to let you go ahead and die. His plan was never for the widow woman and the son to die. That was not his plan. Thank God that was not a part of his plan. And just know for sure that part of the plan with you letting go is always so that God can lead you in to this next season and this next expression of who he is, so that you can come into fullness of who he's called you to be. All right? Herbert.
Hello. So I kind of had to reboot kind of like the soundboard because she told me last night something and then I saw, it's like, don't teach, she said. I'm like, okay, reboot. So I guess what I wanted to share today is regarding finances for myself. I think maybe 25 years ago now, between 25 and 30 years ago. You know, I knew about tithing, I knew about the principles of God and so forth, but I wasn't consistent with it. And it was about then, about 25 years ago, around the time where we got married, my wife and I got married, that we decided to be consistent, to be all in about tithing. Which is, if you don't know, is giving 10% of your finances to God. Because if I was going to believe his promises, then I had to act on it, right? So we started to see a change. We started to see a difference. We started to see that my positions changed with supernatural favor. That it wasn't because of my abilities, but it was because of his. And it just continued to escalate. But the other thing that I wanted to tell you about that, it wasn't just the commitment to tithe, but there were a lot of other little things that I had to be all in. Because back then, there were little things that I would do that everybody did at the time. Remember the satellite TV cards? And my brother's like, hey, use this one, it's free. or getting a copy of Microsoft Word and not pay for it because, you know, somebody gave you a copy of this. And just saying, you know, I'm sure none of you did any of that. None of you did any of that. Yeah. Let's see what else. At the place where I worked prior to that, I remember they used to do things where we would take things in return and then you could resell it back at a really low price. So I would do some things like that. But I started noticing and I started like paying attention that when I did things like that, there was a consequence. I remember buying this really fancy Italian bike and it got stolen. So I started to notice, I'm like, God was showing me, hey, listen, when you do this, there's a consequence. You know, if you do something that is not straight, if you, you know, the cassette tape from Chaka Khan, if you copy it, Chaka Khan, I'm sorry, yep. Those of you that need a cardboard to come over here, no. You know, if you copy the cassette tape of Chaka Khan, you know, who's it gonna hurt? Nobody, right? But the thing is copyrighted. And he started to show me that if you do things with the heart of righteousness, then if you're all in, and it's not just the tithing, but it's a big part of it. Obviously, it was a big part of it. We started to see a difference. But when I started to see things with his heart with his eyes of righteousness. It didn't matter what everybody else was doing, those you know, satellite cards and Chaka Khan cassette tapes and Microsoft Word. You know, it didn't matter what they were doing it, but I had to be different. I had to do it his way. And that's when we started to see a difference. I would get promoted for no reason. I would get a different job for no reason. I was working with people that had almost PhDs. And I'm like, what am I doing with these people, right? And the Lord, as I became more and more faithful to what he was telling us to do, he was faithful to us. So it was the all-in on my part. It opened up the all-in from his blessing. Steve, you're up. Chaka Khan.
So, in case you guys missed it, the whole idea behind what we're doing is to talk to you guys about giving your all to Jesus, to giving your all to God. I mean, that's really the point. And don't leave here today without grasping that, giving your all. And why should you give your all? So I'm up here to talk about the why you should give your all. First thing Pastor Don asked me, hey, if I ask you about giving your all to Jesus, huh?
I'm the sneaky one.
You're the sneaky one. Yeah, she just called me up and asked me a question with no, hey, what would you say? And I said, well, first my mind goes right to John 3:16. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave, right? And you guys heard that before, right? He gave. But then you go and you look at Romans chapter 5. And Romans chapter 5, he says that he loved us dearly while we were in sin. You go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said that he loved us so much. All of this love that he had for us was while we were sinners. While we were enemies of God, he loved us. Listen, if none of you have seen The Passion of the Christ, if you haven't seen it, I'm asking you, just see it. Like I told Pastor Don this. I saw it once and I said I would never see it again because it was such a traumatic experience. Like I remember seeing it in theater. People came with their popcorns and their candy and all that stuff. And when the lights came on at the end of the movie, there were still filled popcorns. There's still candy, still drinks. No one knew what they were getting into. And they saw the movie and they were like, a few weeks ago, I showed it to my youth group. I just showed pieces of it because I said, like, man, we talk about salvation all the time and I feel like it gets watered down. And I work for First Priority, and I'm always preaching the gospel, and sometimes you feel like, are they really getting it? And then I showed a couple of clips of The Passion of the Christ. One of the girls, she was so intrigued by what she saw, she went home and watched it. And the next week she came, she said, I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. The reason I bring this up to you is because if you watch The Passion of the Christ, and by all accounts, what we see in Passion of the Christ is just, it doesn't even compare to what Christ actually went through. It's just a sample to give you a taste of what he might have gone through. If you see it and you understand the abuse that he took, you have an inkling, an inkling of what we would have had to pay if we would have died without Christ. An inkling of the rage that God has for sin. Just a little taste. And because of what Christ did, we don't have to go through that. Because he gave it all while we were still his enemy, we don't have to go through all that. So here's my question to you. If he is willing to do that for us, what is it that we can say no to? What could he ask? What could he possibly ask us for that we could say no to? He's already proven that he would do anything for us, anything for us, to the point of killing his own son for us. What would it be? What can we say? Well, God, you can have this, but no, you can't have that. What could, I mean, isn't, doesn't it sound preposterous in your head, just playing in your head right now, that no, you can't have this after he's done all that? I think that we walk around with that idea in our head, that understanding of just how much he hates sin, of just how much he wants to separate us from that, and just how much he loves us. It will give us a new purpose, a new perspective, and it will change our attitudes when it comes to laying things down. And I'll just give you this little testimony on my way out the door. I remember a little over 25 years ago, maybe around 25 years ago, the first time I heard that song, Yes, Lord. And I remember exactly where I was. I used to go to this other church, and I was in the bathroom, and I was broken. I was defeated. I was like, I was in the valley of, I'm giving out, like, I'm God, you and me, peace out, I'm done with you. I was literally in that place of, I'm done with God. I was so hurt, so, I mean, as raw, I almost can feel it, but thank God that he's protecting me so I can't even feel that pain anymore. But it was such a raw, raw feeling that I had. And while I was in the bathroom, I heard, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes. I was hearing this in the bathroom, in the stall, in my brokenness. And I just like, you know, I'm like, I all of a sudden, it's like I almost shook out of where I was. It's like, man, what is that sound? And I opened the bathroom door and I walked down the hall, and I, you know, it was a little path to get to the sanctuary. And I got into the sanctuary and people were jumping up and down. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And in that moment, I gave it all up. I gave up my pain. I gave up the thoughts of walking away. I gave up everything at that moment. I said, you know what, Lord, I am so broken right now. Only you can bring me out of this. So yes, Lord, if what's required is my worship right now, if that's what it takes right now to get me out of this, yes, Lord. And I just ran into the sanctuary, just started worshiping recklessly. And that night, before I left that sanctuary, my heart was healed. I didn't have that pain. I didn't have that defeat. I was like ready. In fact, the person you see right now, you would not have seen this person right now if it wasn't for that night of just surrendering and saying, you can have it all. So guys, remember, he loved us. There's nothing we can say no to. Amen? Opportunity. Listen, so I may have just said something that might have triggered in your heart, like, oh crap. he read my mail. He read my mail. God sent you up there, Steve, Farrell, Herb, Pastor Don. God sent you guys up there today to speak this into my life, because I need this in my life right now. I've been holding back. I haven't been giving it all. In fact, I don't even know if I believed before I walked in the door today. But something that I heard, something that I experienced, has changed me. And I'm ready to give it all up right here and right now. Even if it's only one of you that's here today, and chances are there might be more, but even if there's just one of you, this whole service was set up just for you today. So you will know how much he loves you. That no matter what you did before you walked in that door, his word already said that he loved us anyway. So do me a favor real quick. Introspect. I need you to think for a second inside. Forget about who's to your left. Forget about who's to your right. In fact, try to forget about me for a second. In fact, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I'm asking you to close your eyes only because it'll help. I'll help you in the moment. What's God saying to you right now? Is he tapping on your heart? Is he saying, hey, give it to me today. Give it all to me today. Give me your all and I'll give you my all. Is that what he's saying to you today? Is he knocking on your chest? Is your heart pounding fast? Because you know that this is for you. Come on, guys. We got the God of the universe on our side. If this resonates with you, if you know that this is for you, do me a favor, just raise your hands real quick. Okay, but stand up then. So many of you guys, just stand up. Just stand up. You're not standing up for me, you're standing up for him. You're standing up saying, Abba Father, I am willing and ready to give it all to you today. There's nothing that I have that you can't have. Abba, you see these people standing here, Lord. These are your children, your sons and your daughters right here, right now, confessing by the very act of them standing up that they're laying their lives down for you today. In this moment and moving forward, they're laying their lives down for you. This is a prophetic act that they're making right now. This is a decision that they're making on their own. No guns to their heads. This is Holy Spirit compelled. Move on their hearts, Abba, Lord. Move right now. Make that switch. Make that change right here, right now. Thank you, Abba.
So the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Saved means to be complete, to be whole, nothing missing. That you are going to have all of the advantages of salvation. And he paid for it all. So, right now, as an act of your all out to God, just say it with your mouth. Jesus, I'm sorry. I haven't followed you wholeheartedly. And I didn't really recognize. But I recognize it now. And so I'm embracing all that you have done for me. And I am committing to giving back all I have to you. And because of that, I am rejoicing. Because I know that above all things, my name is written down in heaven. And you seal the deal. So thank you for covenant and noticing me today. And I'm going to notice you. And I'm going to praise you every day. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, in the name of the Lord, I release joy back into your life. The fruitfulness that God has always intended for you to have. That when you leave, you'll not be able to be the same. That when you leave, there will be a shift and a change because God has just shifted and changed the atmosphere. All for you. All for you. And so we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you for it, God. Everybody say amen. You can sit down. I just have one more thing to say, and then I'm going to let Pharaoh come and give the announcements, and we're going to celebrate Memorial Day. There was another widow woman in the New Testament, and this won't take long, so don't get nervous. She's like, will she shut up? No, I'll never shut up. Okay, so in Luke 20, we find out that Jesus is going to the synagogue. And you know, as soon as he shows up in the synagogues, it's the religious people who give him a hard time. So they're giving him a hard time, and you know, he's having to rebuttal them and silence them with all of his wisdom. And then we get to Luke 21, and it's the time where they are receiving the offering. And so today it's all about giving all. I want you to prepare to give your offering today. And so, and this is just a small part of giving your all, but it is a part of giving your all. So you need to ask the Lord what you're supposed to give and then give that. And so, but here we are, and we're in Luke 21, and Jesus is there, and he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. Now, some people have a lot of money. I would like to be one of those, wouldn't you? And those people that had so much money, they were giving their money into the treasury. And you know how you could tell? Because the temple was beautiful. They had taken from the offerings of the people, and they had built indeed a beautiful temple. It was gorgeous, like many of the churches that we see today. But Jesus looked up and he saw them putting gifts in the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Now, what is her name? We don't know. The poor widow woman. Because it's not about your name being amplified. It's about your actions that will be heard and written down in heaven. And so, with all of the people that are giving, the one who catches his attention the most is this little widow who puts in about two pennies. And he says to his disciple, takes the opportunity, and he looks at them and he says, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. How could that be? She has just these two little coins. But he explains it and he says, for these out of their abundance have given their offerings for God. But she out of her poverty has put in all the livelihood that she had. What? What did she put in? All. You know what it means? She gave the last of everything she had. And that's what we were just doing. We were offering to God the last of everything we have. If we are not willing to give him our life, our heart, our ability, our talent that he gave us, our energy that he has given to us, our bodies as a living sacrifice, this is all through the Bible. Jesus is noticing this woman because he knows that this woman gave everything. And you know what he knows? He knows that because she gave everything, there is a law that is going to come into effect in her life. It's the law of Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So she gave her all. How will God give back to her? In abundance, because she is the one that provided the measuring stick for her return. And that's what we do. Whatever you give out, whether it's your finances, in your offering, that's great. But it's your life, it's your attention, it's your affection, it's your deeds, it's everything that you put your hand to. You can give from the overflow. And God will notice that you're giving from a cheerful heart. But when you give it all, when you give it all heaven notices, and it was recorded in the Bible so we could talk about it today. Because she didn't just give an offering. She gave everything she had. And God isn't asking us, his church, his people, to give what is easy for us to give. He's asking for us to give everything we have to him. Does that mean that we can't have joy? No, we proved that today. In fact, you get more joy when you give to him than you do when you withhold. Because when you withhold, you know you're withholding. And you're miserable because once you've tasted and once you've seen that the Lord, he is good, you can never get away from him. He will hunt you down with the Holy Ghost dog and he will find you. And so in Mark, it goes a little bit further that Jesus called his disciples over. It says he called them over to him and he goes, man, I'm telling you the truth. This poor widow has put more in the treasury than everyone else. This is going to be important for you to know. He not only noticed this woman, but he said, okay, you line up over here. Get in a little circle around me. I got to teach you something right here. You see what I saw today? This widow gave everything. She gave more than everybody else. She gave more. And they're just like, they don't even understand what they're doing. And so, the disciples say this. One of his disciples said, but look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. They're still stuck on the natural, what they can see in the natural. They're like, they're probably thinking, how could this little woman who gave two little coins, you can't do anything with it. You can't build a building. You can't have a plate. You can't pay the electric. You can't do this with it. Like, why is Jesus pointing out this little woman that gave such a little bit? They're still hung up on the outward manifestation of what the rich people could do because they are enjoying it. But Jesus says, really? You see this great buildings? You see this? You see how your emotions are? You see how you cave in to what the world is offering you, all the glitter and the gold? All the glitters isn't gold. And Jesus says, there's not even one stone here that will be left upon another. Everything is going to be thrown down. Because Jesus never lived in the present. He wasn't hung up on the natural. He was always thinking in terms of what his Father was doing and saying. And he was looking at eternity once again. And he is saying, you know, when you stand before the Father, you're not going to be able to tell him, I gave you part. You're not going to be able to tell him, well, I gave big offerings. You're not going to be able to tell him, I gave you 80% and I kept 20% of what I wanted to do. He's looking for the people that were all in. He's going to be looking for the people that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's looking for the people that didn't withhold from him because he gave it all. He's looking for those people. He knows that the temple's going to be destroyed. He knows that wealth can change overnight. That's what they're threatening us with right now. He knows the kingdoms are going to come and kingdoms are going to fall. He knows governments are going to come and governments are going to fall. He knows that presidents are going to be in and then they're going to be out. He knows that power can shift hands in a moment of time. And he's looking for the ones he can trust his power to. And he's saying, oh man, when you give your heart to me, I'm going to release all my power through you. You've never had joy like you're going to enjoy until you grab a hold of Jesus, letting go of everything else. He is the most fulfilling substance in the world. He is the great fulfillment. And so there's an importance in giving all. I told you that because I want you to understand that the stories that we're telling today is the stories that can change your life. Because your life will change when you change your mind. And your mind will change with a change of the heart. And so when you sell out to God and you release all you have to God, you can expect that He will release all He has to you. That means your hands are no longer held in the natural. That means that when you lay hands on the sick, the power of God can come through it and people can be healed. That means you can open your mouth and God will fill it, and you can give a word of the Lord that will separate out between the soul and the spirit, and people will know that God cares and loves them alone. That means that wherever you go, you can be the light shining in the darkness. No matter how dark it is, you're just that match that lights up the room. That means that you will be fulfilled like you've never been fulfilled before, because you have the attention of heaven. And when you step out, believing God and trusting Him with all that you are, He will trust you with all that He has. And so, what do you have, and what are you willing to give to Him? And that's really the question today. And I'm so glad there was a response to give to God, because it starts with the matter of the heart. But many of you know the Lord. Many of you have given to Him before. But listen, there's always more that we can know of Him. And the more that you know of Him, the more you're willing to give. And so for those of you who've been saved like me forever, since I was little, they say, here's your baby, here's your Bible. Then we know that there's times when we take God for granted. We get used to His substance, we get used to His provision, and we forget that something else could happen, that we are going to have need of Him. And that's why we say steady and refix our eyes on the Lord. And so, when God gave us all, there's nothing we can do but to give back without withholding anything. Amen? Amen.